Crude oil is crude. Natural gas is pure. That's why Pennzoil's base oil is made from natural gas, not crude. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
Today's opening tip, after finally winning, finally, a coach's challenge, Nick Nurse celebrated by hugging many, many people. Watch this. They give him the thumbs up. Aw, yeah. He's like, you did it. Yeah. Congratulations. It's a long road for him in that coach's
coach
challenge.
Coach Nate still coaching. He's pointing himself. He's like, Nick's like, give it in.
You got to save those coach's challenges for the end. And I think that was a smart move. We learned that game one with the Raptors.
Well, yes, that is true. It's been an interesting road for all the coaches' challenges there. But here we go. Welcome to The Jump on this Veterans Day. We want to say thank you to everyone currently serving, to everyone who has served, and to their families, too. Because you guys know, when someone is in the military, their whole family is in the military and sacrifices. I also want to thank anyone fighting on behalf of veteran benefits. We need to be taking better care of our military after they serve as well.
Amen.
And with that, I am Rachel Nichols, alongside NBA front office insider Amin Al-Hassan. And multi-time WNBA All-Star.
One time for Africa.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly. Very, very impressive here, although you got to be careful.
No,
I know.
It's like very,
five with him, because it's dangerous with Amin.
It's getting better.
Very coming up, the Knicks were so bothered by last night's loss to the Cavaliers that the general manager and team president came out for an impromptu post-game presser. Is Coach David Fizdale going to take the fall? We will discuss with our Adrian Wojnarowski coming up in just a little bit. First, though, so the Raptors are here in L.A. facing the Clippers tonight, which means for the first time ever, a Finals MVP will face the team he won the Finals with just a couple months after winning the title. Kyle Lowry won't be on the court for that after breaking his thumb on Friday night, but he's obviously still the leader of this Toronto team and one of the players most affected by Kawhi Leonard's departure. I sat down with Kyle to talk about Toronto's outlook, load management, and, of course, Kawhi. You're not playing right now because of a thumb injury.
Yeah.
How hard is it for you to sit out games?
It's tough, especially right now. With us trying to still figure it out and going through a change that we've gone through, and then it being, you know, the thumb again.
Now, when you got hurt, you were leading the league in minutes.
Yes.
You were averaging 39 minutes a game.
Yeah.
You know you're 33 years old, right? You're not supposed to do that?
I don't know that. I don't know. I don't feel it. I always just try to do whatever my team needs. You know, you never really kind of... No, you just go out there and play and have fun.
You know, there's this thing called load management. You might want to check that out.
Load management is an amazing thing. I believe in it. It helped me win a championship, so I'm cool with it.
I was going to ask you that. What do you think, because it's become more controversial, especially around Kawhi Leonard, and yet you were on the Raptors team that basically developed load management.
Well, I think everybody's situation is different. I think with Kawhi, he was coming off such a extreme injury, and I think it worked for Kawhi.
Mm-hmm.
I think it worked for our organization. So at the end of the day, you know, Kawhi is going to do what's best for him and what's going to be best for him. You know, organization he's with now, I'm assuming they're going to do the same exact thing.
You guys did it last year with Kawhi and didn't really raise that much of a stink.
Right.
All of a sudden, the first few weeks of the season, this season, he sits out a couple national TV games, and there's so much criticism.
I think everybody's just speaking on what they do. And I think he's in LA, so it's a little bit different. In Toronto, you know, we already had the plan going and we knew what it was, and we still were, you know, winning games, and we knew what we were doing. We knew when he was going to play, when he wasn't going to play, and it worked. It worked.
So let's talk about these Raptors Clippers games have a lot of juice, right? Because this is an organization that basically stalked your best player throughout the year and then convinced him to come over and play for them. What do you think it's going to feel like out on the floor just between the two teams?
I don't think it's going to be anything. I think it's just going to be another basketball game. I think Kawhi respects, you know, what he's helped us do and respects the teammates. And, you know, the Clippers did a good job in their recruitment process. He made a choice for him. He decided to go home. And, you know, for me as a player, and I think for every other player on our team, we're happy for him. We're happy for him, what he's helped us do, and he's happy that he's happy.
So for a long time, the question about you and the Raptors were, can they ever get over the hump?
Mm-hmm.
What is the question now going forward?
Was it a fluke, I guess? People want to make up questions anyway because they don't have their opinions, as always.
Well, how do you answer that fluke question?
Go out there and do your job every single night. We're going to do our best, and we're going to try to get that gold ball and try to get back to that point. That's the goal. It's the only goal. It's the only goal that matters.
Thank you to Kyle for sitting down, even playing hurt in an interview. Oh. We've got to give props for that. I mean, the outlook for the Raptors has been that they'll see where they are, right? After the first few months, things are going well. They push forward. If it isn't, maybe before the trade deadline, they get rid of some of these shorter contracts that they have veterans on. Remember, Kyle Lowry did extend during training camp, but it was just 1 year, right? So now Lowry is out for at least a few weeks. Serge Ibaka is out. Do you think these injuries, all sustained in one night, Friday night, might alter the course of what happens with this Raptors franchise?
No, because this is a really deep team, and they pride themselves on their depth. And we saw that last night. They didn't have either of those guys, and they beat the team with the second-best record in the NBA and the Lakers, and beat them handily. It wasn't like it was nip and tuck there. And that's a testament to the coaching, a testament to the talent. Obviously, Pascal Siakam has been better than I think any of us could have expected. We knew he was going to have to step up. But I don't think anyone saw him stepping up this much.
See, Eastern Conference Player of the Week, just named just now. And he could win Most Improved a second year in a row.
I mean, that should be in the talks, but, you know, they don't like that. But the point is, when you talk about these injuries, 2 weeks for Kyle, right?
They said they'll reevaluate him
in a couple of weeks.
So I would guess it would
Ibaka
be
and ankle, again, these are very temporary. It's not like what happened to the Warriors where it's huge campaign-defining injuries.
Yeah, and it's really interesting for the Raptors because the question is, was this a fluke? And, yeah, it was not a fluke because you saw yesterday they have championship hangover. And if you look at the people that they're missing, Kyle Lowry, he's the guy that initiates offense. Serge Ibaka, he's the defender. And what did Pascal Siakam do? Three blocks, galvanizing plays. He led the offense. Now, he didn't shoot the ball well, but he was a facilitator, and he drew a lot of attention, double teams in the mid-post. But the coolest thing about this Raptors team is that the championship, like, the culture has been there. They're kind of a farm system. Chris Boucher averaged 3 minutes a game entering last night, gives you 15 points, was blocking AD, was blocking LeBron James. And this is a guy that was a G League MVP. Mm-hmm. Pascal Siakam was a G League Finals MVP, G League champion. This is just who they are. They build talent. A lot of people were questioning Fred VanVleet. Was he going to be this good? Well, he's not a role player. This is just who Fred is. And it's been really cool to see how they harvest players. And these players, we're talking about Pascal Siakam, he has the opportunity to be the first guy ever to win Most Improved more than once. I mean, it could go back to back. We all know he's going to be an all-star.
They're not going to give him Most Improved twice.
I mean, the fact is he's upped his average by 10 points almost every year the past three seasons.
Well, I was really impressed with what they did last night against the Lakers. And to your point about sort of how they've kind of brought people up through the G League and all of that, it didn't feel like that deep a team the first couple weeks of the season with the Raptors. That's why Kyle Lowry was playing a league-leading 39 minutes a game. That they sort of felt like when that second unit came in, they didn't have as much. And then when they were forced to go that way against the Lakers, those guys all stepped up.
Yeah.
The other, you know, the funny thing is, remember earlier in the season, where it was in the preseason, where Nick Nurse called out Rondae Hollis-Jefferson and Stanley Johnson. He does that because he knows at some point I'm going to need to rely on these guys, and they need to know what our standards are. And so that's the cool thing about when you have a system like Toronto, where once you win a championship, it's silly, but it solidifies everything that we do here.
Right.
And so you have the luxury.
You can't question the coaching.
Yeah, you can't question any of this, right? And the one thing about Toronto people need to know is the culture was established before Kawhi got there.
Yep.
And it was there when Kawhi's gone. It was there. And now that Kawhi's gone, it's still there. So they're able to ride the kind of waves of the season leaning on things like that.
Right. All right. So as we talked about with Kyle, the Raptors do face the Clippers in L.A. This is going to be the first matchup between a Finals MVP and the team he left just a few months after. We've obviously had Finals MVP come back and play their old team, but no Finals MVP has left in free agency after he won the Finals. So this is the first time we've ever gotten this. Here's what Doc Rivers said about the excitement of the matchup.
It's going to be, you know, fun to see the guys again and, you know, just congratulate them and, you know, be able to shake hands and compete. The guys, the journey, also the country, the city, it was amazing. And, you know, it's just so much. You could keep going on and talking about it.
It's one of those leave good situations. It's not one of those leave awful situations, you know. And let's be honest, in our league, it's usually the other way. You just got the benefit, a rare benefit, of being able to leave in a happy state. You know, that's rare. I don't know if that's... Has it happened? I don't know. If it has, it's rare.
Doc, a little more horse even than usual there. He says it was one of those leave good situations. Mm-hmm. Sinead, do you buy that it was a completely leave good situation?
I do think it was a leave good situation based on the fact that Toronto was thirsty. They were fiending for a championship and they got one, and this was the first time they were in the NBA finals and they go 1-for-1. They'll take that versus not having anything at all. And I totally understand, like, it sort of spoke to my soul when Doc Rivers was saying this is so rare, because my personal experience leaving my team for work related, you know, issues. Yeah, that was not easy. And it was not a leave good situation. So right. Like, yes, I mean, I wish I could have brought a championship to Connecticut and then bounced, and maybe things would have been better. But in reality is, Kawhi did it, and he did something that had never been done. The fans are happy. The fans are grateful. And I think that's why they have peace with it.
Work-related issues. That's mine.
Balance.
I'm going to start doing a bunch of things for work-related issues from now on. It's leave okay. How about that? Leave aight. Maybe not leave good.
I like that. Leave aight.
He left aight. On the one hand, what Chiney said is right, and particularly when you factor in, they knew they were taking calculated risk.
Yes.
He wasn't a guy who would left them at the altar or whatever.
Right.
They got him knowing he had 1 year left, knowing that...
He never said, I'm going to make my home here. He
never.
He was very above board the whole year.
But he also brought it every night, unquestionably. There was no... He's half in or half out. He was all the way in. He delivered them the one thing that they'd never had. Remember, it's not just the organization and not just the fans, right? But the people who are actually working for the Raptors.
Yes.
We just talked about how Nick Nurse now can do things and say things. Why? Because I got one of these.
Yep.
There's a bunch of people in that organization now who have that credibility and that stamp of approval because of this man, Kawhi Leonard. So I think it's cordial. But obviously... they would have loved for him to stay because they did everything under their power. There's nothing you can say Toronto did wrong.
Yeah.
They should have done this more, or they should have given him more of this. They did everything under their power, and ultimately it wasn't enough.
I think that middle ground is probably the most accurate, right? A leave-eight situation, leave okay.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think anyone, and you heard Kyle being very gracious there in the interview. I think they all sort of want the best for Kawhi. They're all friendly. They all still talk occasionally, you know, that kind of thing. But there was some animus in the Board of Governors meetings in July.
Yes, there was.
And that a lot of the tampering sort of investigations and things that went on after that and spurred new rules coming into place at the beginning of the season. Some of it was about all those contracts that got signed mysteriously at 6 p.m. on Sunday evening. But some of it was related to, hey, what have you done with our player throughout the season before?
Right.
Did you, I don't know, show up at a bunch of basketball games, college basketball style?
I didn't know you weren't allowed to do that.
Right. I mean, there was reports of a lot of, we weren't all in the room, but there was reports of a lot of frustration there, even though publicly the Raptors organization was very gracious, even in that moment.
I would say when you're talking about the conversations at that level, you're talking about people who maybe don't have the same perspective as people lower down in the organization. So people who are working, whether you're a front office person or a coach or a trainer, you know the deal. You know how this league works. You know that this is probably the best possible outcome of how someone could leave.
Mm-hmm.
When you're higher up and you're used to things happening your way because I've got a lot of money. What do you mean he won't stay? I'm giving him all the money. That makes it a little harder to swallow.
But also bringing it full circle, it's really interesting because this time last year, a lot of people saw Kawhi as the villain for fighting for his health, pushing his way out, and he completely changed that narrative.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So much so that we're discussing load management and how much we want to see him.
Yep, absolutely. All right, coming up, Gordon Hayward out after fracturing his left hand. This stunk to see. This guy was finally making it happen. Did the Celtics' expectations change as the former All-Star recovers? We'll discuss that. But first, though, it's time for our distant replay from this date, 1999.
Okay.
From a man worth a lot more than a penny.
Vince Carter.
See what I did there?
Vince Carter's worth more than a penny.
No.
Penny.
Oh, Penny Hardaway.
Okay.
Oh, look at young Sean Marion.
On the floor for Hardaway.
Oh, yeah.
The cash and slam for Marion.
They do a little showtime.
You can only do that if your teammate is in the Matrix.
I'd like to see the Nets.
Get it?
Yeah,
I'm just all about the puns today.
She's just kidding, guys.
Oh, boy. We all need a commercial break. Let's stay with us.
The Jump is brought to you by IKEA, where whatever your dream is, we can help you make it.
If you could look into the camera, this is for The Jump. If you could say it's a make or miss lead.
I'll do that.
Okay. Then you don't have to say it.
I appreciate it.
It's a make or miss lead.
Thank you, Patrick.
Did he change his mind?
I don't think so. I don't think he changed his mind. I just think he was being nice. Speaking of being nice, thank you very much to the main G League team for making my dreams come true. Taco Fall, Tremont Waters, recreating the most iconic picture in NBA history. Thank you very much. I had this on my wall as a kid.
Yeah?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Manute Bol posing with Muggsy Bogues.
How big was your wall? Jeez.
Well, I'm just saying.
High ceiling.
Went through the
vaulted ceiling.
Little Rachel, who was a Bullets fan, and... Now, the team has a different name. They play in a different state, in a different arena. This is my only connection back
Nostalgia.
To my childhood.
Nostalgia.
Thank you very much. What do you guys think of the poster?
Originals are best.
OG is better.
Gotta go with my guy, Manute.
How many,
recipe.
You know, remixes
no, but they
are better.
They brought this back, and
it's
I'm
nice.
Grateful.
It's nice. I'm
Miss
glad
Rudeness, check out... Look at this.
Excuse me, I'm a... pardon me.
Mr. James. I was a little... I'm stopped by the sweat.
Please,
he's being polite while LeBron is in his spot at the free throw line, right?
Could you, if it ain't...
He didn't want the Myers-Leonard treatment. Like, get off me, son.
He's asking about a stapler there. That's what it was like.
Are you this polite when you're on the court?
No, not at all. I'm like, move. Get out. That's my spot.
Polite? On the court?
No.
Never.
Not off the court.
Make... Heist. He's like, excuse me. Nikola Jokic pulling off the old Smitty Hezzy.
Smitty from the city. Woohoo!
And the dunk.
Did you know he had this in his game?
I think I call it a dunk.
How is that not a dunk?
You know who used to do the Smitty from the city really, really well? Like, looking like Smitty? Shaq. I swear to
you.
In practice, he used to do it
you're
all
a big
the time.
Guy, you can do this. But I thought Jokic gets points.
No, this is nice. It's nice.
Yes, the whole lane.
Why
like,
are you like that's
party
not
with
a dunk? Fees.
Smitty, we'd miss you, man.
Why?
I know you're still on NBA TV, but I'm just watching you play.
We gotta celebrate.
What, the Jokic dunk? Come on.
Yeah,
now.
That's like, why is that as good as it gets for
that's a dunk right there. And like, Smitty wasn't a dunker, but that's a dunk right there.
Yeah, that's not his game.
Which one of you plays professional basketball?
Ding,
that
ding,
one.
Ding, ding,
so
ding,
are we going to play that?
That's what we play every single time. Every time, that is the answer. Miss the rules. Kyrie may have gotten away with a double dribble last night. Suns coach Monty Williams.
Am I the only person that thinks that wasn't a double dribble? Like, he just brought up his guide hand? I don't think it was a double dribble. I think he's one of the best. We give him the benefit of the doubt. Now that there,
All right. We've had some different.
That one there.
I like it.
So Amir Johnson doesn't get the benefit of the doubt. Is that what you're saying?
Nope.
Terry's not killing me. What about this?
Yo. Wait, the worst part is no one on the other team, the Timberwolves didn't even notice. They didn't even notice. The bench didn't even notice.
You have to do like jumping jacks.
Right, this one.
Look, okay, guide hand comes up, but like, it's like one of those things like,
you can't have both your hands on the ball at the same time.
Well, I mean, we don't know that for sure. Where's my bifocals? I don't have them. Refs need them.
Hey, ref ain't see it.
Yeah, they see it.
I want to move on to Gordon Hayward, the Celtics forward suffering a broken left hand in Saturday's win over the Spurs. He is visiting a hand specialist today to determine the next steps. Could require surgery. Chiney, I felt like he was just finally back, right? The first couple weeks of the season, looked like an all-star. That, to me, then changed my predictions of where the Celtics were going to be in the East. So now that he's hurt and possibly out for a while, now where does that put the Celtics' future?
Yeah, this really hurts me because as a player that's come back from injuries, it takes you about 2 years to feel like yourself again, and it's been about three, and so now he's really his best self. He was shooting, 56% from the field, 43% from three. He was back to the guy we loved and can take over games. Now, the reason why I think this really changes expectations is because they're so top-heavy on their team, meaning a lot, five or six of their guys play most of their points, and he was giving you 18 points. Kemba's been giving you a quiet 24, real quiet. Jason Tatum's playing. I mean, it's kind of quiet because we're talking about Gordon Hayward all the time because of the injury. So, yes, this changes the expectations. I did not expect them to have the best record in the NBA. Now I sort of expect them, you know, hopefully he bounces back from this. I expect them maybe two slot, three slot because I have Philly coming out of the East.
Yeah, I mean, we all have to take a deep breath. Right? 10 games in. It's like, well, I guess the Celtics are going to be the best team in the league, right? But... Well, it does change expectations because he was playing well. He had finally returned to form. And so that gives you optimism that the Celtics are maybe a separator away from the rest of the pack.
They basically added an all-star player without adding the all-star player because last season he was good but clearly still bothered by the injury the season before he didn't play. So, you know.
Which, by the way, follows the same trajectory that Paul George went through in his recovery. But the good thing for them is they still have the luxury. They have those two wings of Brown and Tatum who are able to step up and do more. We saw Jaylen Brown do exactly that in that Spurs game. He went out and he had his best game of the year. And, you know, he's missed time earlier this year as well. So if there was ever a team that could survive something like that, it's the Celtics, but we feel bad because you know this guy fought so hard to come back to this point, and now it's kind of feeling like going back.
And I've always liked the addition of Kemba Walker just because it's like a fusion of the last great point guards for the Celtics. Isaiah Thomas, sort of in size and stature, but Kyrie Irving and his like knack to just go after it and be aggressive scorer. So Kemba's working so far, and maybe he'll just take more of the offensive load.
He's an excellent leader.
Yeah, absolutely.
Unselfish.
No question. And we'll just have to see with Gordon. I think we'll get more news today. It could be the kind of hand injury. Look, Kyle Lowry broke a bone in his hand, and they'll say, hey, we can reevaluate him in
two weeks.
Steph Curry broke a bone in his hand. Now, obviously, the Warriors in a different competitive situation than the Celtics.
Not for the year.
but they've said, hey, he'll be evaluated in 3 months. I know with Gordon, the break, they said, was either in his fourth or fifth
metacarpal.
Am I saying that correctly? And that is a more significant injury. Then I know. See, with your hand injury, you and me have both broken our hand in the last year.
Stay away from me.
It's better than the thumb, which is what happened to Kyle. I mean, it's worse than the thumb, which is what happened to Kyle. So we will just have to find out. We have a lot more news coming, though, because Adrian Wojnarowski is joining us after this next break. He's going to discuss his report with Malika Andrews today that Knicks president Steve Mills is, quote, laying the groundwork to fire David Fizdale. This is super interesting. Stay tuned for that. First, though, I want you to join the NBA family and the Department of Defense in celebrating those who have continued to serve our country this Veterans Day. To learn more about the NBA Cares Hoops for Troops program, say hi to our crew over there. Hi, crew.
Y'all are terrible actors.
Visit NBACares.com. This week's star-studded NBA Wednesday doubleheader starts with the Clippers taking on the Rockets, and then it's off to the Staples Center for the Lakers hosting the Warriors. Our coverage begins with Stephen A's pregame Sports Center, 7 o'clock Eastern on ESPN and the ESPN app. Welcome back. The Knicks suffered a 21-point loss to the Cavs at home last night. Afterward, Knicks GM Scott Perry and President Steve Mills held a press conference, which, guys, that is very unusual. We're going to play that, followed by Coach Fizz talking at practice today.
Obviously, Scott and I are not happy with where we are right now. We think the team's not performing to the level that we anticipated or we expected it to perform at, and it's something that we think we collectively have to do a better job of delivering the product on the floor that we said we would do at the start of this season. We still believe in our coaching staff. We believe in the plan that Scott and I put together and the players that we've assembled, but we also have to acknowledge that we haven't played at the level we expected to play at. We've seen glimpses of how we can play as a team when everything comes together.
I got a 2.5-year contract. That's my insurance. You know, that's our business. The insurance is about that I have a contract.
Fizz there, in part reacting to a story from our Adrian Wojnarowski and Malika Andrews, saying that Steve Mills, quote, has started to lay the internal groundwork for Coach Fizdale's eventual dismissal, which is very big. Welcome to The Jump, Woj. And I want to give everyone a heads up. Woj also very hardworking, the Gordon Hayward story. So if you see him tweet in real time here, that's probably what that is. And that's lucky, too. Woj, tell us a little bit, though, about this Knicks story. How does that jibe sort of with what you've been told, that Fizz is out there this morning saying he has assurances, he's got a contract, he's had Perry supportive behind him?
Well, David Fizdale is going to be a company guy. He learned that in Miami. You back management regardless of what might have happened the previous night in a news conference, but there's no question. You remember, Steve Mills has survived several coaching hirings and dismissals in New York. His overall record is well under 500, 150 games plus, I believe. And so he is consistently got the ear of owner Jim Dolan, and what he said publicly is very consistent with what he's saying privately, which is they have put together a good team for David Fizdale. This team should be winning. Now, that is counter to, I think, you know, a lot of the conventional wisdom around the NBA. Other executives, coaches in the league were stunned by that news conference, the timing of it, the tone of it. While your coach is in the locker room talking to the team to march in and do that, it was unusual.
Yeah, I mean, that was, to me, one of the also really super interesting parts of this piece you wrote, because you had that line saying, Mills is selling James Dolan on a roster constructed to be highly competitive in the East. And then you had other reporting in the story there saying rival executives and scouts see the roster as unbalanced and, quote, slow of foot. So how does that all jibe together, especially with Mills telling Dolan, hey, this should be a competitive team in the Eastern Conference?
Well, you know, in the end, you know, this is a coach who has 2.5 years left on his contract, and this is what happens when the team is not playing well. You know, you're not going to see Steve Mills here really take much responsibility for the fact that this is, you know, that they've had Mitchell Robinson out, that Frank Ntilikina has trouble keeping, the speed of opponents is tough. You saw it last night with Sexton and Garland. And right now, especially with Kristaps Porzingis coming back Thursday, you know what the Garden could look like, sound like. He comes back, plays well. And that trade that is on Mills and Scott Perry's resume last season and how far it is clear to set them back, you saw this was a precursor last night to getting out in front of it and putting it on the coach. That's where the Knicks are right now, Rach.
Well, is there any sense of how quickly the Knicks would intend to move in this situation?
Well, at 2-8, this is a team that, especially at home, they've gotten blown out twice now at home, Sacramento, Cleveland. And I think the home blowouts, certainly, put some gravity on this. They did just win at Dallas. They played well at Boston, who's been the elite in the East. But those bad home losses certainly have played a factor in the optics of this 2-8 start. And, for David Fizdale to make it beyond this week, he probably needs to not have more of those. But there's no question he is very much on the clock with management. And, they are putting this squarely on him. They made that clear last night.
Yeah, I mean, it is hard to really express to people who don't do this day to day just how rare a press conference like that was last night from that organization that's been sort of secretive and kept management out of the public eye to do it this early in the season. I think this is absolutely fascinating. And of course, the Knicks beat the Mavericks when they played in Dallas. But as you mentioned, when Kristaps Porzingis comes to town, it's going to be an entirely different story. Woj, I know you're working like 4 other stories right now. So if you get breaking news later, we will be checking back with those reports as well. We really appreciate you taking time out to do this today now.
Thanks, Rach.
All right. Talk to you soon. So, Chinne, what was your reaction seeing what happened last night at the Garden and then seeing Fizz come out this morning and be like, oh, I'm going to be okay?
Yeah.
Nothing to see here?
If I'm a player in that locker room, I have a lot of questions just because you don't want that type of transitional energy going around your team, especially when you're fighting for wins. And I think Woj's point was right, spot on the money. Like, if you think about playing on the road, there are no expectations there, really. You're going to go out there and play hard. And it's not even been a question of whether the Knicks are playing hard, because I think a lot of guys are. Marcus Morris is leading the team in scoring. Julius Randle is doing what he is doing. You know, I know he had 20 points per game last year, but this year he's 15 or so. Kevin Knox, double figures. And R.J. Barrett is doing his best to try to bring life to this franchise. It's not necessarily about playing hard. It's about playing well. And I think balance is the issue. But you can't point to the roster and say this is all Coach Fizdale's fault, because he's only been there 2 years. This is something that you, like, in the city of New York, you can point to across the city and say, all right, they've been building something and there's fruition from what they're building. I don't think it's all on the coach. It's decision-making. Again, everyone's going to have the eyes on the Garden when Kristaps comes back. And I think that's the issue here. They're trying to get ahead of a situation instead of stay behind it. And it's unfair to the players.
Yeah, the weird thing here, there's a lot of weird things, right? Start with 10 games in, you feel the need to have any sort of State of the Union address about your team, regardless whether they're 0-10, 10-0, to do that. Then you're doing it after the game. Typically a time where tempers are flared or whatever. If you were going to do that, wouldn't you wait till the next day to make some sort of statement like that? 3, you're doing it while the coach is still in the locker room talking to the team. So obviously you haven't consulted with him about expectations or anything like that. And so when I see Steve Mills, who's been in the NBA forever, and I see Scott Perry, who's been in the NBA forever, do something that is so out of the ordinary, the only thing that I can do connecting the dots is say they were compelled to do so.
So this is, I asked our producers to put this together today. This is everyone's tenure with the Knicks, right? Obviously, Fizz, the most recent, just got there compared to the other two. Steve Mills was during the Phil Jackson era, right? When we talk about, oh, it's different since Phil Jackson came, it's different with Scott Perry. Since Phil Jackson left, it's different with Scott Perry. Not different with Steve Mills. And the team, you can think about what the team's record has been over that time. You see the percentages there.
Right.
So, but it's hard for me to say this is David Fizdale's fault.
Exactly.
But the point being, even if it was Fizz's fault, that's not how you handle it. And these are not two neophytes. They're not guys who came from Wall Street and we're trying our hand at this NBA thing. These are NBA guys. So to see those guys do that, I feel like that comes when you are under pressure from someone else, someone who controls your destiny. I'm not naming names. I'm just saying that's not the way that you behave. Now, you talk about the roster. Unbalanced, not only in terms of position, but also a lot of players of similar talent level. So it's very hard to create clear defined roles. Shanae, if you walked in the locker room and you say, I'm the best player here, but then there are like seven other guys who think the same thing and can legitimately do so because the talent level is all the same, it makes it harder to kind of put together some structure. And then finally, I can't leave Fizz off the hook as well because he's kind of done things with the lineups. You know, some of it is injury-driven, but some of it seems like there's not a lot of consistency.
And it affects players' confidence.
Right.
Right.
From day to day, where I don't know where I stand in the coach's eyes. All of this is to say it's a bad situation. I don't think there's any one person to blame other than...
Then...
I'm not going to name names, but just keep going upstairs.
You're talking about ownership there.
Oh, yeah.
Right, okay. Now, it's interesting. You guys saw Woj during our talk with him that he was in the middle of checking a bunch of things. I mentioned at the top he was working on the Gordon Hayward news. And sure enough, he's got Gordon Hayward news. Go ahead, Woj. What you got?
Hey, Rach. Now you know why. Well, I just spoke with Mark Bartlestein, Gordon Hayward's agent. He is going to undergo surgery on that left hand today in New York. He'll go under in the next couple of hours, and then they'll know better a timeline on Hayward's return to the Celtics. But he was in New York, met with a specialist. You know, they went through and decided that surgery would be the way to go. And we'll know more, perhaps as soon as this evening, about when the Celtics could expect Hayward back in their lineup.
Do you have even a rough time frame? Are we talking a month, several months? Do we know how much of the season he might end up missing?
I don't, Rachel, and I think they're going to be clear on that once the procedure is done. They accomplish what they hope they do, but they've been cautious on putting any timeline on it until that procedure is complete.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. It's just hard, I think, for Celtics fans who have finally been like, okay, this is the guy we got. This is the all-star we got. And Gordon played so well in Utah, has had so much trouble since being back in Boston. And to know that he might miss a big chunk of the season is certainly a blow for him personally and for Celtics fans. Thank you for reporting all this news live on the air. We appreciate it. You know, if anything else breaks in
the next
20 minutes, we'll see you back again. We know where to find you. Thank you.
All right. I'll be here.
All right. So, Chinee, what do you feel that is going to impact the Celtics now that we know it's not a couple weeks? It is least, when you have surgery, you're out for what? At least 6 weeks, maybe 2 months, maybe 3 months.
At least 6 weeks.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, I think that this is a tough loss just for, you know, Gordon Hayward personally coming back from an injury. And then right when you get your momentum, it's sort of, you know, but I think that's why we saw a surgery happen so quickly. Because, you know, when I had my second injury, I was like, let me have it as soon as possible so that I can get back to being the person I was. But I do think they could absorb this loss largely because Kemba, that's what he did in Charlotte. And then Jason Tatum's trying to take the next step, you know, and not just be the guy that people say is good, but he's going to be great. And then obviously Jaylen Brown, he's capable as well.
So. Today I laughed because this injury happened and I said to myself, you said Kemba's used to this. I'm like, this is still the best team he's ever played on.
Exactly.
Like,
with the injury,
it's still the best team he ever played on.
Coming up, we will talk more about Nikola Jokic. He sunk a pair of game winners this weekend. Two game winners. Has he officially taken the mantle as the league's best center? He did get that spot in the All-NBA, but there's been controversy. We'll see. We'll talk when we get back. After Monday Night Football on ESPN, stick around for SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt. He will have full post-game coverage, plus Booger and Ryan Clark breaking down Russell Wilson and Jimmy G. This game is going to be so good tonight. I'm getting all the popcorn ready.
Yes.
Kawhi also facing the team he led last season. That's going on tonight as well. Welcome back to The Jump. Nikola Jokic had a weekend to remember, first finishing a 21-point fourth-quarter rally against Joel Embiid's Sixers with that late jumper, then hitting another game winner late against Karl-Anthony Towns and the Timberwolves. So, Chiney, these are two of the best centers in the league. Jokic vanquishing both. I don't know. Has he taken the best center mantle to you? And again, I want to note, he got the top center spot in the All-NBA voting. But even coming into this season, especially when he came in carrying a little bit extra weight, people thought, ooh, Joel Embiid, ooh, Karl-Anthony Towns. Did Jokic show what he's got?
I think Jokic is number two.
Oh,
I know this might be a hot take. I have AD, even though he doesn't want to be a five. I truly think he's best fit for a five position, especially when the Lakers are shooting. And the reason I go with AD is while Jokic might be the most empowering center, meaning he passes the ball extremely well. The only person that's done it better over consecutive seasons is Wilt Chamberlain.
Yeah.
While he's in a great empowering center, he's the crux of their offense. Anthony Davis is just dominant. He's dominant. He changes the outlook of games right when he touches the floor. 26 points, 10 rebounds. His assist numbers are coming up, 3 assists per game. Even though AD does not want to be the 5, I like him as a 5 in this league because he can also get you that DPOY, but also MVP on the other end.
That is a sneaky take.
She's just cheating. That's not,
that's not cheating.
No, she's
that's
so
cheating.
Off.
LeBron's the best 5 in the league. If he played 5 all the time, he'd be better than every 5 out there. Yes. Every single 5 in the league. See, it doesn't work like that. We got to pick the guy who actually plays center, Janae. Sorry, you can't go off
like
the menu.
6'11".
This isn't In-N-Out where you go to the secret menu and you say, I'm going to get
Starbucks.
The AD.
We'll have to find out from producer Schwartz where of AD's All-NBA votes have been historically. Because I'm not sure if they've been at center or forward.
That's interesting.
Either way, I've got an answer. That's not off the board. I'm going to go with Joel Embiid. He's still better because here's the reason, right? You can make an argument to me that Jokic is better overall offensively than Embiid. You can make the opposite argument as well, that Embiid is a better offensive player than Jokic. But what you cannot make is an argument that Embiid and Jokic are equal defensively.
I agree.
Embiid is one of the great defensive players we have in this league, and Jokic, at best, still needs improvement. And that, to me, is the difference when you're talking about overall impact, because they're both incredibly impactful offensively, but one of them is also incredibly impactful on the defensive end. I'm going Embiid 1, Jokic 2, and then Towns 3.
I agree with
and
all
Davis
of that.
And Davis is a power forward. We can list him with the power forward.
What matters most is who won the games, and Jokic won both of those games.
Very true.
I want to get to Dion Waiters because, yeah, you know why. He was suspended 10 games on Sunday after an incident on the team's plane. Woj and Brian Windhorst reporting that Waiters suffered a panic attack mid-flight after ingesting a THC-infused gummy.
What's
that? ESPN front office insider Bobby Marks believes Waiters' heat days are nearing an end. Listen to this.
I told an agent this. I would be stunned if we ever see Dion Waiters back on the court again, you know, in Miami. I would be really surprised just by, we always talk about culture down there, right? As far as him with, you know, with the Heat culture there. So I guess kind of give your distance to him as far as him being part of this group here.
All right, Waiters also suspended for the season opener, remember, after publicly expressing frustration about his role with the team. I mean, do you agree with Bobby there? Now, Bobby made a point in this podcast saying it's a little bit of a poison contract. He just kind of expects some separation from the team as opposed to an immediate trade.
Right.
But do you think that Waiters will ever put a Heat uniform on again on the court?
I think there's a chance. I think there's several things to remember. First of all, he got suspended for 10 games. Oh, surprise, surprise. Now he can't hit his bonus, which pays him $1 million plus for playing 70 plus games. So that's great job, Andy. Great job, Pat. We're really working the contract situation there. But the reality is this. They're not good enough to tell him to go away. And also, he's not good enough of an asset right now that you can trade him away without adding anything that you like to get him out of there. And also, 2 years, $25 million remaining on the contract. So not easy enough to part ways with, we'll just pay you to stay at home. So the reality is, while I agree that the Miami culture thing is huge, I think this is the culture at work, that zero tolerance. Same reason why James Johnson was suspended from training camp. He wasn't even allowed to get to the practice facility during that suspension. Same reason why Dion was suspended for that opener. They are showing that we have zero tolerance for the chicanery that's happened over the last couple of years, because Pat Riley said at the end of last year, that's done. Us giving up what defines us is over.
That makes sense, but I also think this could be a blessing in disguise for Dion Waiters, just because that 10-game period could actually recalibrate him. I know he's had issues with his teammates getting some shine, a Kendrick Nunn, even Tyler Hero taking some minutes. Maybe that's exactly what he needs, a break to recalibrate his mind and win over his teammates again.
If he wants to play and be productive and all that, his best thing is to fall in line.
Exactly.
Contribute, and then they can trade him a lot easier. Because right now, they tried trading him earlier this year.
Right. No,
Had no takers. And that was before all
and
these
And they're not going to have takers after this. Interesting note I learned from the Hoop Collective podcast and Bobby Marks talking with Brian Windhorst was that even though he won't be paid that bonus, it still counts against Miami's cap, this year.
Shout out to Andy Slater, by the way.
Hard cap. So.
Andy Slater,
shout out to. Absolutely, always. Up next, an all-star makes his debut tonight. Yep, Blake Griffin is back, so we'll talk a little bit about that. First, though, take a look here. Time for our second distant replay of the day.
That
this one
year.
From this date in 2012.
Gotta be Vince Carter. 2012.
He's
in the league, right?
He's in the league. Generations like to watch Vince Carter. And yet, this is not Vince Carter.
Oh! No, Rudy, don't do it to him like that!
How rude!
Oh.
How rude!
Okay.
Look at that.
Smart move, Chris Bosh.
Yeah, that was a
business decision.
My friend Jacoby and I are here in a few minutes to discuss if Lamar Jackson's dominance yesterday made him the MVP favorite.
Was the Saints' loss to the Falcons a fluke, Pablo?
Is LSU the best team in the nation after beating Alabama?
And we have a football fan's failed attempt at a people's elbow. Stay tuned.
Look at Jacoby. All right,
Pablo,
a new season of 30 for 30 podcast is here. Episode 1 tells the story of basketball superstars Deanna Taurasi and Sue Bird and the relationship they had with their Russian team owner, a person they grew to love but with a mysterious past.
I know about
this. Stories of being a KGB spy and involved in organized crime.
I know about this.
Taurasi is the GOAT. Sue Bird is, well, I will listen anytime Sue Bird speaks about anything, anywhere. Listen to this podcast. All right, crunch time
on
the jump. Tony Parker is going to have his jersey retired tonight. The Spurs hosting the Grizzlies. Here's the final member of the Spurs Big Three to receive the honor. Amin, he did not catch a bat with his bare hands, but he did so much. What will you remember most about Parker's career?
Two things. One, I remember the seasons where he led the league in points in the paint as a little guard who was not big or imposing or athletic. And two, I remember when he bumped heads with Steve Nash, whose eyes was bleeding and cut, and Tony writhed on the ground like someone had just shot him. He's just like, oh, my God.
I'll never forget that. There to my left. Go ahead.
And growing up in Houston, Texas, I remember this Spurs team taking all the hope and the soul out of us because they were just so dominant. But I have the same trainer as Tony Parker, Fabrice Gauthier, out here in L.A., and he was talking about going to this jersey retirement and how much it meant not only for us here in the U.S., but internationally.
I was going to say, I feel like Tony faced some bias when he came in
absolutely.
And certainly got a hard time from the Spurs coaching staff wanting to test him and sort of knowing that he would react well to it and saying, you got to earn it. And he did that.
He did.
He earned it. He earned it with all those fans, maybe some of which were a little leery of him, and he earned it with the coaching staff and his teammates.
You know what helps that hurt in the soul? When you sweep them. Oh, mwah!
Our league pass team of the night is Timberwolves at Pistons. Blake Griffin expected to play his first game of the season tonight. Welcome back, Blake Griffin.
Yeah.
He will go head-to-head with Karl-Anthony Towns. Griffin averaged a career-high 24.5 points last season with Detroit. They missed him. Certainly to start the season, he was hobbled in the playoffs. What do you expect of his debut?
Well, I want to see how he moves, right? This knee has bothered him for quite a while, and I want to see what his mobility looks like, what his agility looks like. It's only one game, obviously, tonight, but this is something that we're going to have to monitor. And also, is load management going to be a thing for Blake Griffin? Because the reality is, it would have been nice if they'd done that last year and they'd have had him fresh for the playoffs rather than hobble out there.
I'm not so concerned just because, you know, with the injuries, because he's changed his game from leaving Oklahoma to now where he is in the league. He's one of the most fun to watch under the rim, and we expect above the rim from him. So
yeah, absolutely. I mean, the questions about him at the end of that contract as he gets more and more toward that end of that monster deal is, would his athleticism fade? And then would that contract become too onerous? We will find out, right, whether this is going to be the beginning of more injuries for him or not. This just in at the buzzer. We get some scenes from around the NBA, players and teams celebrating our veterans, the entire league, and certainly us here at The Jump.
Thank you. A big thank you
to all our service members stationed throughout the globe. We appreciate your service, all the sacrifices of your family made on behalf of our country, not just on Veterans Day,
every day.
Our Kenny Mayne, very good about that. And we also want to send our condolences to our friends, Scott Scottie Pippen. He lost his older brother Jimmy to cancer this weekend. We are thinking of you, Scottie, and the entire family. Be well.